And now the game where we invite interesting people on to discuss things they're just not interested in. You know how a lot of aspiring comedians quit the business and just go to law school? Dimitri Martin quit law school right before he graduated to become a comedian. Turned out to be a good idea. He got his own series on Comedy Central, and he has now written his first book. Dimitri Martin, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Your material, it's kind of hard to describe, but it's kind of like the musings of an obsessive mind. You think about things rather deeply and oddly, which is kind of what's so great.
Yeah, I think I spend a lot of time on planes and in cars and just places waiting alone to get to the next place. So I usually just take out a pen and draw things over and over again or make lists, you know, things like that. Nothing crazy, not like lists of killing people or anything, just more like...
Yeah. That's not the sort of thing you do. Could you describe your comedy for someone who hasn't been fortunate enough to see it yet?
Yeah. It's just made up of little ideas, and then I put them together in different ways. So each little idea is like a little brick, and then I just build them up into different shapes, and those are like the bits.
Right.
And then the silence that you hear, that's usually what happens.
Yeah. So, when you hear about somebody who was in law school and then quit to be a comic, we imagine that you were a total cut-up in class and everybody was saying to you, hey, you should go be a professional comedian. Is that what happened?
Yes and no. I think I was pretty normal all the way up. And then by the time I got to law school, I had made a mistake. And then I became the funny guy at law school, which was really the annoying guy. Actually, not the annoying guy. One of the annoying people at law school.
Yeah.
A lot of them. And then eventually I realized I'm wasting time and money here. I should drop out and go try to find a stage somewhere.
And what was the moment you were actually, like, through 2 years of law school where you were like, I don't want to do this? Was there a particular
yes,
moment?
I went for the first year, and it was just a couple months in that I realized, oh, no, this it? This is what this is? No. But I didn't know what, you know, I really didn't have any other plans or anything. So I stuck around and I was a White House intern after the first year.
Wait a minute. You were a White House intern? Which White House?
In the Clinton White House.
You were an intern at the Clinton White House?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Are you okay?
How was that experience?
That was, I missed a lot of the action. I was there.
Really? Did you meet the president?
I met the president, yes.
Did you tell him a joke?
You know what happened was? We took a big photo with the president behind the White House.
Yeah.
And at the end of the photo, somebody made an announcement. Hey, the president is going to be kind enough to stick around, so as you leave, you can all shake his hand.
Yeah.
I said, great. So I'm waiting in line with the other interns. I had, like, my short-sleeve shirt and a tie. And I heard people ahead of me saying things like, Mr. President, you know my father from so-and-so. My dad is whatever. My mom, you know... People, when they narrow it down to a very short interaction, I think all the BS is kind of stripped away, and it's just like, hey, here's my connection to you.
Yeah.
But I didn't have one of those, so I'm thinking, what am I going to say to this guy? So I'm not proud of this, but what I said was, what's up, Mr. President? That's what I had to say to President Clinton.
So you have this distinct style. I mean, most... comics are telling jokes about current events or politics or like plane travel, and you get up and like start drawing Venn diagrams on stage. Do people respond to that?
No, definitely.
No.
And for a while still. I mean, I think I have a specific audience that I find in different pockets of the country. And, you know, I mix it up. I do some of the drawings, and mostly what I do is I just tell jokes about simple things like dogs and chairs, you know, and things like that.
Can you tell us a chair joke?
Let me think. Yes, this is a chair joke I remember. A beanbag chair is very helpful because it tells you things. Like if you're over 40 and sitting in one, then you failed. That's both a chair joke and a beanbag chair.
That's true. I want to ask you about palindromes. One of the cool things in the book is a short chapter of palindromes. Nobody makes up palindromes. You do. In fact, you make up what must be the longest palindrome I've ever seen. It goes on for 3 pages.
Wow. 500 words.
Oh, wow.
How in the world do you do that?
I don't know. For me, when I was in high school, I used to work at my parents' diner, I'm Greek, and so my family has to have a diner.
Yes.
If you're Greek in New Jersey, you either have a diner or you're related to somebody who has one. So that's a true stereotype. And sometimes I'd be sitting there and I'd have to be the host where people come in and you say, hi, how many? Two? Okay. And then you sit, seat them, and then you go back and sit by the counter. So I bring little puzzle books and things like that to entertain myself. And I discovered a palindromic poem once in a puzzle book. And they said, hey, this is one of the longest in the English language. And it was, I counted, it was 58 words. And I thought, like anybody would, oh, man, I got to do that.
Even to an NPR crowd, I think, not anybody would do that. But go on.
I can tell you that in my experience, palindromes are the number one, like, conversation stopper, like, party killer. Yeah.
Really? So you're, like, you're talking to some woman at a party and go, hey, I'm going to say a sentence that reads the same if you read it backwards.
You say,
yeah, or if somebody says something and then I take their name and add a couple letters to it, I'm like, I'll say it, and then I'll say, by the way, that's a palindrome. Then it's just blank stares, just total silence.
But you know what? The thing about your palindromes really make me want to hear more chair jokes.
No, listen. I want to stand up. I want to stand up for this man's palindromes because he has a bunch of palindromes that you've never heard before. And then he has a 500-word palindrome, and you're like, come on, this is not a palindrome. And you sit there, and you start reading it backwards, and it's a palindrome.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy. It's
Peter, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Sorry.
Well, Dimitri Martin, we are delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Take My Wife, Please.
That was the signature line of comedian Henny Youngman. And since you're something of a non-traditional comedian, we thought we'd ask you about the most famous straight-ahead jokester of all time. Answer two questions correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Dimitri playing for?
Dimitri is playing for Justin Mabardi of New York City.
All right, here is your first question. Youngman was famous for a number of qualities, among them, which of these? A, he had the worst breath of any major comic. Fans knew never to sit in the front rows. B, he was the fastest working comic of his time. He delivered 50 or more jokes in an 8-minute set. Or C, he never, ever was seen to laugh ever at anything.
Okay, I like all those options. I think the first one would be the meanest and most interesting historical legacy for a comic to leave. But I think it's going to be the second one, B, that he was the fastest.
He was. He was an extremely fast comic. He'd get in, tell an awful lot of jokes, get off. That's good.
All right.
So he was tireless in looking for paying work. Another famous for that. He was always out there looking to make a buck. As he proved it once when he did what? A, he spent the hour between his two shows at Carnegie Hall telling jokes on the street with a hat in front of him. B, he got off on the wrong floor of a hotel on the way to a gig. He found a bar mitzvah going on and booked a quick extra gig for $150 at the bar mitzvah. Or C, he would tell a joke in an elevator, and if he got a laugh, he'd ask everybody on board for $2.
Ooh. You know, B sounds like those would be terrible parents if they didn't have entertainment for
right.
the bar mitzvah.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that one. Could be right, but I'm not going to do that one. And then A, that's pretty appealing. Nice New York story. But I think I'm going to go with C, because I could see that being kind of coercive in a very interesting way.
He'd lean in the door close button and say, okay, you've had a laugh, now pay up. That's your choice?
Yeah.
No, it was actually the bar mitzvah.
No.
It was a famous story he bragged about. He was on his way to the ballroom at the Waldorf Astoria, thousands of people waiting for him. Got off on the wrong floor. There's a bar mitzvah. He arranged a second gig. He came down and did it later, made an extra $150. He was very proud.
Wow.
All right.
So maybe they already had entertainment, so it was like a bonus.
Exactly. A little extra
okay.
thing. All right. Now, this is your last question. If you get this right, you
so
win
if I all. Get this right, Justin gets the prize.
Exactly right. So the pressure's on. His most famous trademark joke was, of course, take my wife, please. But there's something surprising. I know, there's something surprising about that joke. What was it? A, despite that joke and many others like it, he was never married. B, the first time he told it, it wasn't a joke. He really wanted someone to take his wife. Or C, he tried it out first as, please, take my wife, before realizing that reversing it would get the laugh.
Mm. Ooh. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A.
Never married.
He was never married. You're saying he spent a lifetime telling jokes about his wife.
Maybe.
But he was never married.
Oh.
Well, I'm not sure yet. I'm not finished.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought you said he was never harried. Like, he was never bothered.
Oh. Yeah, never bothered.
Yeah.
The phone connection's weird. Married, you're telling me. Okay.
Never married, yes. Now that you know that, you're going to reconsider. All right. So the other two choices were, the first time he said it, it wasn't a joke. He really wanted someone to take his wife.
Okay, I'm going to say B.
You're going to go
say B?
That he really meant it seriously? You're right. Yeah. It's a true story. The way he told the story was.
Thank you.
He was backstage and getting ready for a show, and he wanted an usher to take his wife to her seat out in the audience. And he said, "Take my wife, please," and got a laugh. He's like, "Wait a minute." Thus a trademark was born. Carl, how did Dimitri Martin do in our quiz?
Dimitri had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Justin Mabardi.
Well done. Congratulations.
All right.
Woo! Dimitri Martin, thank you so much. His new book is called This Is a Book by Dimitri Martin.
You.
Dimitri, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye-bye.
You guys.
Take care.
Bye.